This is Coffee Time 2. Anyway, we had an opportunity to have Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis join us today here on KOVE. And we're thrilled to have you back. It's been a while, and it's always good to have you back here just to visit with you like two old friends across the table, which is what Coffee Time's all about. So welcome back.
It's wonderful to be back. I have my coffee cup, mm-hmm. and we've had a fun little visit during the break about the University of Wyoming.
You're just a little fired up about it.
Oh, that. I am a little fired up about it. I'm a graduate of the University of Wyoming. I love my university, but I'm very unhappy about the fact that they have invited and allowed William Ayers to come and speak. To me, that is unbecoming of the University of Wyoming and the image that we want to portray as a university, as a center of excellence for environment, natural resources, energy, to bring in someone who is the epitome of a lack of moral commitment and ethical action. And that, by the way, is the title of his speech, to me, is unbecoming of the University of Wyoming.
What was the title? Is Trudging Toward Freedom or something like that?
Yes, Trudge Toward Freedom, Moral Commitment and Ethical Action.
Sounds like an oxymoron if his name's associated with it, doesn't it?
That's my view.
Yeah. Well, I've read some of the excerpts from his book. I wouldn't waste the money to, you know, better him somehow. But he's in his book, he says, it was a great day for a bombing, a perfect day for a bombing, and there is never, he was never charged, I guess, or was found not guilty because he wasn't there and pushed the button. But there's nothing there, and he has actually said that he would do it again.
Yes, he has acknowledged his participation, and to me, once again, it's our university where we want to convey a moral ethic, a cowboy ethic, a standard that is inconsistent with Mr. Ayers to such an extent that it's not even appropriate to listen to someone who espouses his views. He is a domestic terrorist. This is inappropriate for the University of Wyoming to provide him a forum. I don't care that an anonymous donor decided to put up the funds. This is one of those cases where the university should have just said no.
And how excited are you about the fact that high school principals from around the state are supposed to participate in an online presentation from him the next day?
Where this is coming from, why his views are considered worthy of university or Wyoming principals hearing them is beyond me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been exposed now to the, I guess, the mindset of Washington now for almost 2 years. And so what, are you surprised that this is coming out? I mean, that this kind of a guy who apparently is still has the ear of the president would, I don't know, I guess to bring my point around, are you surprised that people are just saying, well, this is okay, but when Vice President Cheney comes to town, we raise hell about it?
Some things in the name of academic freedom are nevertheless still inappropriate, mm-hmm. and this is inappropriate. So I am strongly opposed to the university allowing Mr. Ayers to come here. I am strongly opposed to them giving him a forum. And now that I realize that he's also speaking to principals, or principals are being given the opportunity to listen to him, I'm even more compelled to want to question my university as an alumna, not even in my capacity as Wyoming's congressman. I'm concerned about this as someone who's an alum, who cares about my university, and what this says about the University of Wyoming.
Okay, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that they will lose some support from longtime loyal supporters, and it's not going to be just a passing controversial event. The University of Wyoming Board of Trustees found out about this the same way we did through the press. They were not pre-informed. One of the trustees that I spoke with on Saturday night said he didn't find out until a constituent called him who had read it in the press, and that's no way to treat the Board of Trustees of the University of Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. I went on to the website for this Center for
Social Justice Research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there isn't a phone number. There is no reference to any individual as being responsible. There's nothing there that says that who the advisory group is. It just says that that's what they do. But you can get a thumbnail sketch of Ayers' speech, and so okay, tell me about the organization. I just think they're hiding all kinds of stuff myself. You know, if you're proud of your organization, you better know who the head guy is. But anyway, we're not going to solve that. Do you think the speech is going to go on as planned?
That I do not know.
We had on the news yesterday on Fox, there was a university somewhere in the East that has withdrawn their invitation to have him come speak there. It would sure make us proud if the UW did that too.
Indeed it would.
Okay. Well, you've been involved in much bigger battles than that here recently, and that was this healthcare thing. Is that as horrifying as we think it is?
I believe it is. Let me tell you what we know about it and what we're learning about it as the days go by. It will raise $500 billion worth of taxes. There are 20 new taxes in the bill, totaling $569 billion. There are $500 billion worth of cuts in Medicare. Medicare needs those monies to be rerouted into Medicare because Medicare is going to be insolvent in about 7 years. So to the extent that we can ferret out $500 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse from Medicare, it needs to be plowed back into Medicare to adequately compensate physicians for taking and seeing Medicare patients. Right now, especially in Wyoming, every Medicare patient that walks into a doctor's office or a hospital causes that doctor or hospital to lose money because they are not reimbursed for the full cost of providing service to that Medicare patient. Consequently, we need to fix that so we don't have more physicians than have already decided here in Wyoming to no longer accept Medicare patients. Furthermore, we know, of course, that this new bill provides for its first 10 years, 10 years of taxes, and only 6 years of benefits. So if you were to match up the 10 years of taxes that coincide with the first 10 years of benefits, so it's a one-for-one relationship, this program is a $2.3 trillion program, not a $1 trillion program. So going forward, in other words, it is by design unsustainable. And the fact that in the last few days, Caterpillar, John Deere, AT&T have both had to revise their public shareholder disclosure to explain to people that own shares of John Deere, AT&T, and Caterpillar that this is going to have a tremendous hit on their bottom line, that it may reduce shareholder dividends or the value of the company. And the reason is because they will lose the deduction for providing prescriptions to their retirees. It leads one to believe that other companies that are similar will experience the same kinds of financial impacts. Now, Henry Waxman, who is the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which is where one of the healthcare bills originated, has called these companies before his committee to explain it. And I hope that in explaining it, the proponents of this healthcare reform will come to realize that they have indeed created a monster.
How tone deaf, though, is Congress and the Senate in the fact that something like 64% of the people in the country said, no, we don't want this, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And also, I guess, part two, isn't that a sort of a form of intimidation? If Waxman calls you before his group to say, you know, what are the impacts going to be here? Well, we just don't know.
Well, if he were just asking them to come and explain the impacts, that would be one thing. That would sound like legitimate fact-finding. Mm-hmm. But he sent them letters saying, we want all your internal emails. We want all your documentation. It is as if he's trying to intimidate any company that would put information out disclosing the financial ramifications of healthcare to their company from doing so. It is bottom line, as you said, the problem here is the American people don't want this. The only thing bipartisan about this healthcare bill was the opposition. You had every single Republican and 12% of the Democrats in the House vote no, and yet Nancy Pelosi has such a large majority in the House that they were still able to get it passed. I do believe that the negative financial consequences of this bill will be rolling out now in the weeks and years to come unless we can repeal it and reform it. I want to repeal it and replace it with healthcare reforms that we can afford.
We're visiting with Congressman Cynthia Lummis here on our extended coffee time today, and it's always fun to have you here, and it's great to get a chance to see you on a one-to-one basis and share that experience with our listeners. Were you surprised at the shenanigans that went on and the fact that the House had to vote on the Senate bill that nobody had seen, and it was just said, well, and I remember the quote from, I saw it from Nancy Pelosi, we need to hurry up and vote on this so we can find out what's in it. Does that kind of stuff makes me crazy.
Yeah. Well, and she wasn't kidding. We're still finding out what's in this bill. They wanted us to pass it before we would know what's in it. I believe out of concern that if we knew what was in it, we would have voted no. And quite frankly, until last Sunday afternoon, when Bart Stupak and the so-called Stupak 12 compromised with the president and Nancy Pelosi, they did not have the votes to pass this. That's why they were considering this process called deem it passed, mm-hmm. pretend that it passed, even though they didn't take a straight up or down vote. When they realized that would not be possible, then they began cutting even more deals than they had previously with members of Congress. You will see members of Congress who are going to be defeated in November because of this bill get extraordinary appointments after they are defeated. And those are the things we will not know about until next year.
Well, we've already seen that with the Cornhusker
kickback and the Gatorade, the Louisiana Purchase. If the bill was so good, why did those states have to request special exemptions from the provisions of the bill? Mm-hmm. And of course the answer is because there are terrible problems in the bill that will affect the constituents around the country that those members of the U.S. Senate were trying to protect.
You know, one company that we haven't heard from that I'm surprised, because they have a lot more employees than Caterpillar or John Deere, and that's Walmart. What is something like that going to do for that gigantic corporation?
Walmart had early on supported some of the reforms that President Obama was espousing. Whether they are still on board, I don't know.
It's to me interesting that they haven't said anything. But there are just so many provisions in it, and it's 2,600 pages.
It is, and required a second bill called a reconciliation bill to fix some of the damage of the original bill. So those votes were also taken on Saturday night, and the president is signing the Reconciliation Act into law today or tomorrow.
Are we, is the country just kind of going to hell in a handbasket, or what? What do you think?
Well, I'm hugely concerned, and here's the big reason why, and it is truly the big picture. I'm on the budget committee in the House, and my ranking member, which is the highest ranking Republican on the committee, his name is Paul Ryan, and he is from Wisconsin. Paul Ryan had come up with a plan called American Roadmap, and you can see it at AmericanRoadmap.org. AmericanRoadmap.org finds a way to get us out of debt and deficit spending without raising taxes. But in order to do both of those things, eliminate the debt and the deficit and not raise taxes, the only way to do it reasonably is to do it slowly over time. He could not accomplish that until the year 2063. That's how long it takes to do it without healthcare reform. Now we've thrown on this massive new entitlement program that throws Paul Ryan's roadmap farther and farther into the future. The problem with that is other countries are going to either quit buying U.S. treasuries that are financing all this debt, or they're going to put stipulations on our on their purchase of our debt that we may find untenable. We've put ourselves in a terrible financial hole, and we just dug it deeper by passing this health care bill.
It surprises me, number one, and I don't know if you noticed, but you know, usually here on our desk we have a copy of the Constitution. This seems, do members of Congress have these things?
You know, I was reading the Constitution one day on an air transport plane, and I was flying back from Iceland on a plane with other members of Congress. And we were flying back on a cargo plane with Humvees, with soldiers from Afghanistan, with drug-sniffing dogs, with supplies. And I was sitting there in my little jump seat with my earplugs in, reading the Constitution. And because I had it in my purse, one of these little pocket constitutions like you have here on your table. And one of the Democratic members of Congress came up to me and said, "My gosh, you carry a copy of the Constitution in your purse?" And I thought to myself, we should all have them. The Declaration of Independence was the document that I would call the vision statement for our country. And it made clear that we were endowed by our Creator with these inalienable rights, not by government, but by God. And then the states formed a more perfect union. The states created the federal government with limited powers and retained for the states and the people everything that they did not, in a limited way, convey to the federal government. Over time, and last Sunday night was sort of the culmination of a long departure, a long march away from the state and the people being in priority and towards the federal government being the priority. I truly believe that we've taken a giant step away from the intent of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And so I am espousing that first principles be recognized as I run for re-election this year. And I will be making a big point of explaining that we really do need to reassert as the people of the United States that we're in charge, and the federal government is not in charge, and I hope that the people of Wyoming will make that loud and clear in November.
Okay. I know you're just, we're out of time, and I know you've got your town hall meeting at noon at City Hall.
Correct.
I looked through the Constitution. There isn't anything in there that says that, that I can be forced to buy something, or I can be fined because I don't. Or that there's anything in here that says that it's the responsibility of the citizens of the country to pay for insurance for everybody?
You know, I'm very anxious to see how some of these lawsuits do turn out because the individual mandate, as it's called, in the health care bill will require all of us to prove that we have purchased health care insurance. And the bill includes $10 billion to hire 17,000 IRS agents to do exactly that, to make sure that every American has government-approved and required health care insurance.
Scares me that the IRS is the enforcing arm here. I mean, it's scary enough that they're going to have armed agents enforcing it, but still, it's all tied to the money, but I think if the way things keep going, there won't be any money to do anything with anyway.
Well, and in Wyoming, the big fear is that doctors will retire because of this great burden it places on them, and that we will lose access to health care simply because there aren't enough doctors to serve our population. So that's why I support the repeal the replacement of this health care bill with something that we can afford and will still provide us access to medical care here in Wyoming and elsewhere in the country.
Where are the Canadians going to go for good medical care? I know you have to go. It's always fun to have you here, and you're welcome back anytime. We have our guest here has been Congresswoman, I still kind of like that, Congressman Cynthia Lummis. Thank you for coming, and remember that the Congressman will be at City Hall at noon for a town hall meeting. Thank you for coming back to Coffee Time and coming back to Lander.
Oh, it was my great pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. J-Bo, back to you.